Chapter 1. I'm glad you're here tonight. This is the first week that I can remember we've not had one day of rain. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing, George? I think it is. And so I actually could wash my car and everything else. So it's great. And thanking God for that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 will be starting with verse number 15. If we could stand, please, to read God's word together and look right into this passage that God has given to us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're just going through verse by verse of the book of 1 Timothy, and we'll look at verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before, which went before on thee, thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, they may learn not to blaspheme. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us now in the moments that we have together as we study this great book that you've given to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, if you were to sit down in your home and write a list of priorities in regards to your home, what would be your top five? I mean, what is it that your home, why does it exist? What is its purpose? Where are you going in your home? You know, our desire is to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. And so when we talk about making priorities in our home, we're talking about looking at that which was very important to us. It sets the tone of our home. It shows us the direction of our home. It shows us our values. It reveals something about what we consider valuable and what we ignore. That's the unfortunate part. But what about a church? What would be that which, if we were to sit down and say, okay, what is the top priorities that a church has, its existence? What is it? Is it a gathering place? Is it a place for buildings? Is it a place to kind of encourage each other? What is the top priorities of a church? And then let's narrow it down. What's the number one priority? What is it? What is the number one priority? I mean, if you were to be honest, you were to say, okay, what's the number one priority that a church should have? What would that be? And Paul's telling us what that is. And that is to preach the gospel. Look, the world can have gathering places. The world can have buildings. The world can have rah-rah, you know, kind of, you know, charge us up, encourages us. The world can have those things, but the world does not have what God has given to us, although we can give it to them, and that is the message. What we have, what is top priority, what is the number one priority that we have, and that is the gospel. It is not that which was just a suggested message, it is the message. This is not just something that we should think about, it is something that we must do. Paul said it this way, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's what makes everything rotate around Jesus Christ in the church, in our families, in our life. It is our real hope. It is the only hope, and there is no other hope. So we must understand that if there's anything that we prioritize in our church, the number one top priority has to be the preaching of the gospel. It must be. It's of high importance. Now, I want to talk about two aspects, as we see in the passage here, about the gospel. The first is the cause of the gospel. The Bible says here that there is a cause, and I want us to, let's see, can we get this working? Brother, it's not working. There we go. Okay, the cause of the gospel. Perfect. Thank you. The cause of the gospel. What is the cause? Well, let's look at verse 15 again, if you would, with me. The Bible said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." Here's what Paul says. Paul says the cause of the gospel is, letter A, Christ's death. That's the cause of the gospel. It is that which made all the difference in the world. Without the death of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. And the Bible says here that if you notice, it says it is a faithful saying. Now, the idea of faithful means to depend upon. I love that verse in Proverbs where it talks about, it says that when you depend on a person who is unfaithful, is like a broken tooth. But you know, if you and I are going to depend on something that's important, we have to understand that the gospel is that which you and I can depend on. Let's put it to you this way. If eternity is going to be before us, we're all going to die one day, we have to have something we can depend on. And how many of you understand, you can't depend on life insurance companies, okay? You can't depend on people, but you can depend on Jesus. It is a faithful saying. It is dependable. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm not saying, well, you know, I'm really hoping the gospel is what's real. No, the gospel is what is real. It will not change with time. You can count on it. You can go to eternity, if you would, with a dependence on Jesus Christ. And the Bible said it's worthy to be accepted. He is worthy to be accepted in every way without reservation. There's no doubt about it. When I think of that, I think of the week that I went to a revival meeting. That was back in the days when I had revival meetings, and they would have 10-day, 2-week revival meetings, things like that. Some of you remember those days. Now we have revival meetings and they're called Sundays. You know, Ron, you remember those revival meetings that go like 2 weeks and 3 weeks? I mean, they had them years ago. They had them even about 100 years ago. They had them for 8 weeks and 10 weeks. And it's pretty amazing when God begins to work in those meetings. But here's the fact. The fact is that all that week, I kept putting off the decision to receive Jesus. I kept putting it off thinking, well, you know, maybe a better day, maybe something different. Maybe I'm just, you know, being emotional. Maybe I just, you know, this weird feeling I got. It's called conviction. And by the way, I believe in old-fashioned Bible conviction. That's what's going to matter. When you have conviction of the Holy Spirit, when God the Holy Spirit touches your heart, the Bible said without reservation, that is that it is well worthy of our acceptance because Jesus died for us. Couldn't get over that. I couldn't stop thinking about that. The Bible said that he came. And by the way, Jesus Christ did come to this earth. Strangely enough, if you were to go to Israel today, most of your Israelite Jews, they would tell you, yeah, we know that Jesus came. And they can talk freely about it. They will tell you that, yes, he did come. We know that there was a man that came to this nation. And they will talk very freely about that. But then, when you talk about the resurrection, that's where you part with them because they can't believe that he would rise from the dead. But we know that he came. It's called the incarnation, incarnated. Jesus Christ came. He came in this human form. And Paul's telling us that that's the heart of the gospel, that Christ came. And why he came, at the end of that verse, it says in verse 15, to save sinners. Let me ask you a question. Who are the sinners? We are. He came to save us. He came to save every one of us. Thank God that Jesus Christ did that. And here's what Paul said. Paul said he was the chief of it. He was the chief of all sinners. I was thinking in studying this passage this last week that he was the chief of sinners. I'm thinking, boy, if he's the chief of sinners, I'm in a world of hurt. How about you? You ever felt that way? Paul tells us that's why Jesus came. So no matter how much we messed up in our world, that we might think we messed up in our life, we have to realize that Jesus Christ came to this world to save every one of us. That's the cause. That's what the death is. That's the message of the church. That's what's going to change the lives of people. But then second of all, notice Christ's example. In verse 16, the Bible says that Jesus Christ showed through the life of Paul what God can do in that person's in a person's life. He says in verse 16, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting." Paul needed mercy. All of us need mercy. We all need his mercy. Paul needed forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. Paul needed grace. We all need grace. And Paul was used by Christ as an example of the message of God's grace in his life. That's the gospel. Now, by the way, what's important about that is because I do not believe that our church is called to do anything else other than just make sure that we communicate and preach the gospel. That's our high priority. Now, we're to help people grow, and we want to teach, you know, Bible truth to where people can grow and get closer to the Lord and all those things like Nathan was saying a little bit earlier. That's what it's about. But the heart of it is the gospel. I think every marriage should be centered around the gospel. Every home should be centered around the gospel. Every life should be focused and centered around the gospel. And it helps us when we get up in the mornings and we're confronted with the fact that we are just sinners saved by grace. It's good to know that. So we have that. And we have the Christ example. But look at verse 17. We have Christ, if you would, his eternality. The Bible says that now unto the King eternal. By the way, Jesus is the King. The Bible says in Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King. There is no other. And notice something about him. He's as the King, he's the eternal King. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Paul just heaps upon praise, upon Jesus, who is the God of all time. He's the sovereign controller and dispenser of all things. He is the all-powerful one. He's immortal, meaning that he will not perish. He's not running down. He's not falling apart. That he is God. And our world may fall apart, but God never does. The idea of invisible means he's not made by hands. We didn't make God. Now, you drive around sometimes and we'll see people who made their gods. Some people make their gods. Some people actually drive their gods. Some people carry their gods in their wallets. But you and I, we have a God that sits in the heavens. We didn't make him. He made us. And just a good reminder, Paul says, that's the God that we serve. That's the gospel. That's who we're preaching about. That's who we're saying that this, why this is such a high priority, because of the cause of the gospel. Christ is eternal. I remember several years ago, and we had new Christians in our church, and some people were asking me questions like, okay, now at Christmas time, you know, when Jesus was born. And I said, wait, let's correct that. Jesus wasn't born. Jesus always was. God became man at Christmas, but keep this in mind, Christian. Jesus always was. When he says I am, that means he's still the I am. And so that's important to keep in mind. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, I think I have it in your notes there. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. In other words, God created all these things. I mean, think about it, that God stepped out in creation and made what we have. That he made it both visible and invisible. You do realize that there are things that are invisible. We live in there's an invisible world that we do not see. Our eyes cannot see. We've never seen an angel. At least we don't know if we've seen an angel. God says sometimes we might have angels visit us unawares. But there are some things that we've never seen. We've never seen air. Well, maybe in L.A. you might, but you don't normally see air, right? But God, he made all of those things, those invisible things, the Bible says, invisible. I don't know about you, but man, I've enjoyed these sunrises, looking out and seeing the beauty of the sunrise. Saw a nice rainbow the other day. God made all that. That didn't just evolve or happen out of an amoeba. That came from God. God's the great artist of nature. And the Bible says he's the only wise God. There's no wisdom anywhere else. Any wisdom that you and I have, excuse me, that came from him. So the first aspect, when we think about the importance and the priority of the gospel, is number one, the cause. And when I consider the cause and I look at all that Jesus did, the cause, we can even say, extends to our whole world because they need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. That's the gospel. Getting the message of the gospel of Jesus, number one. But secondly, there's the charge of the gospel. Can I get you to go to verse number 18? Verse number 18, the Bible says, this charge I commit unto thee. Now, a charge, when years ago when MasterCard came out, in fact, MasterCard is relatively new. You guys realize that MasterCard and Visa, those companies are started, they're 70s company. You know, they're not like, you know, we get the idea they're like way, way back. And it's like the Apostle Paul carried a MasterCard or something, you know. No, they're relatively new. I remember when they first came out, my mom and dad kept calling it a master charge. Okay? But this is not talking about charge when you think of in the sense of credit. This is talking about commitment to something that God gives to us. You and I, we are committed to a charge. That's the whole idea of the gospel. It's the charge of the gospel is what God has placed into our hands. And with this charge, it is a great responsibility. Yesterday, we were able to go to Cheryl's mother's memorial service, and Cheryl praying for you and your family. And we're reminded of Mrs. O'Leary, how she that always carried gospel tracts and handed out gospel tracts, because she realized that what she was given as a Christian, she wanted everyone else to have. She shared the gospel. Sharing the gospel. And Paul's talking to this young preacher and he says, look, if you're going to talk about priority, you're going to talk about what you should do as a pastor and what's important in the church and what the church should be and what would be the top priority. It should be the gospel. And then he says, and here's the cause of the gospel. It's the fact that what Jesus did, he came, he died, he was buried, he rose again. That message hasn't changed. But then he says, now let me give that charge to you. You take that to Ephesus and you take that to the places you go. Just like we take it to Fairfield and we go into those places and we put gospel tracts or hand out gospel tracts or we talk to people, we tell people, build relationships, building bridges, telling people about Jesus so that they will hear the truth of the gospel. But I will tell you this, it's going to come with that of a sacrifice. How many of you have ever noticed that the gospel is not always well accepted? How many of you have had that happen? Notice what it says in verse 18. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare." And I put under point A, to fight a good fight. To fight a good fight. There are times when we have to realize that this gospel is not well received in many quarters of our world. The idea of the charge is a command that's been handed down from an officer. And it's not easy to serve God for Timothy in Ephesus here. It wasn't easy for him to serve God in a very difficult pagan place. But here's what he says, "I've called you." That's our responsibility. We're talking about inviting folks to our services, inviting folks to hear the gospel, telling people the gospel, giving out those gospel tracts. And we have the new ones with our logos and all that, new times, everything. It's all about that. He says, committed to you. It's not committed to ABC or NBC. You'll never hear it there. Or at least if you do, they'll probably cut it off. Or any of the other networks. But we as God's people are charged with that. Notice over in 2 Timothy, here's what Paul says. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It's a charge as a commander gives to the troops, as a commander gives to a soldier, that this charge, this is what we do. This is how we carry out the message of our church, that we're to make sure that people know, and we're to fight a good fight. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's something I found out. Every time that I go out and try to give out the gospel, whether it's over lunch with someone I'm talking with and trying to tell them, or go to their home and sit down, you know, I've noticed that there's a warfare going on. Sometimes it'll be a crying baby. Sometimes it'll be someone sitting next to me on a table, on the other next table where we're sitting there eating. I'm trying to talk to someone, and they'll be yelling or screaming, or they'll be talking real loud and drown you out. I've even stood at a door and talked to someone, gave them the gospel, and that's when the mailman or the UPS truck shows up. Or it might be a dog barking. Or it might be a dog that follows us around when we're out handing out and putting tracts on doors. It could be a whole bunch of things that happen, but the fact is that we are to keep serving God in the warfare. Because, can I remind you of this? 1 Corinthians 15:57 is still in the Bible. Here's what it says. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, getting out the gospel. We fight a good fight. We're to do what God's called us to do and not quit in the battle. But I will promise you this. There will be struggles. Struggles will come. But we are promised the victory in Jesus. But then the Bible says, and lastly, if we're talking about the priority of the gospel, he says, lastly, to remember to keep the faith. Keep the faith. He uses the illustration of a Navy captain who must hold the faith by living out his life. It is not enough to proclaim it, but we must live it out in our daily lives. That's what he says. He said, "Holding forth a good conscience and having put away concerning faith that have made shipwreck." A good conscience is one that will do the will of God. A good conscience is one that will say, you know what? Just like Martin Luther said, "Herein I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." And the whole idea is that, you know what? We're just going to keep the faith. We're going to keep on keeping on. Amen and amen. With God's help and by God's grace, we're going to keep focusing on helping real families experience real hope in Jesus. And how do they get the hope? It's in the gospel. That's priority. That's top notch. That's top drawer. That's so important. And we don't want to miss the opportunity. But he said there were some who were shipwrecks. I don't know anything about what exactly. I studied this out several times. I've gone through these verses. What does it mean to shipwreck? I'm not really sure. I don't know if that meant that they were not believers originally. They were imposters. I don't know if that means that these men were just simply fell out of the ministry altogether, and that's what Paul means. But I do know that Paul's saying for all of us what we can learn, and he lists people who have already quit the priority of getting the gospel, or of hearing the gospel, or of listening to the gospel. He said, Hymenaeus, he's a blasphemer. He says that. He calls him by name. He said that Alexander, who he delivered, and here's the whole idea. He wasn't giving up on these men per se. He was saying, look, he said, we want them to come to the truth or to realize where they are. And he says, so I'm going to trust them so that they will out on their own, so that they will turn back to God. Because notice it says here, it says, I've delivered them unto Satan, they may learn not to blaspheme. By the way, we should never blaspheme God. Amen. For those who apply the truth, we have a good conscience. But if we don't apply the truth, according to what Paul says here, they're going to make their life a shipwreck. You know, it's not enough to read the Bible, but we have to read the Bible and apply what the truth is. Sometimes I think people say, well, you know, I've read 20 pages a day. I remember I met some guys that used to tell me, read 20 pages a day. I said, man, 20 pages? You ever try to read 20 pages of the Bible a day? 20 pages? You know, sometimes I get to Leviticus and read about 2 pages, and I'm like, wow. Get to 1 Chronicles, and I read about all the begats and everything else, and I'm like, really? And you're reading 20 pages of this? But here's something I've learned. It's not just reading it. It's applying it. Without the application, the reading doesn't have any significance in our life. You know, by the way, I'll tell you this. When you start reading it, you realize that the gospel is the number one important, most important priority that we ought to have in our life as a Christian, as well as a church. That's our message. And I pray that wherever we go, as we go out, we live out the gospel, that we hand out the gospel tracts, we tell people about Jesus, that we get the gospel to the world, because that's the hope of the world. And Paul says here, I've charged every one of us as believers that we do that. And may God help us to keep that as our priority. Amen and amen. Shall we pray?